Using Meditation to Unlock My Inner Wisdom. Lecture 11. I train myself in meditation. I let go of the appearance world and to its apparent impossibilities and reveal it is already done. I train myself in meditation. I let go of the appearance world and to its apparent impossibilities and reveal it is done already. When we meditate, we usually meditate about something. We meditate over something. We meditate for a purpose. And that purpose that we meditate is usually to accomplish some goal. We want to get peace of mind. We want to get the attitude that all is in divine order. We want to get the attitude that whatever our choices are, they are fulfilled. We want to get the attitude that there's peace on earth and it began with me. We want to get the attitude that everything in the world is in divine order. We want to get all these attitudes. Well, now, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But what do we really want to do? What is meditation for? Anybody?
For peace.
Meditation is to be yourself and have fun.
Yeah.
Meditation is to listen to your own inner self, to be at home with yourself, to be at peace with yourself. And if you want to do anything in the outer world, that's fine. But first, number one, first yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you won't be able to do anything for anybody else. If you are a father of five children and you take the children to the beach and you don't know how to swim, if they have a problem, you'll never be able to help them. You just go out there and drown, then they'll be without a daddy. You know, so that's not very intelligent. The intelligent thing is to do is to learn how to swim,
yes,
if you're a father. Intelligent thing to do, if you're a person, a human being, is to learn how to meditate. And the way you learn how to meditate is becoming silent and listening to the divine in you. Now, nothing could be simpler than that and more complex than that, because you have trained yourself to be a little rascal. You have trained yourself to listen to a voice within. It's not your voice. It's a voice of the world. You're a naughty girl if you don't do this. You're a naughty boy if you don't do this. You're terrible if you do this, you do that. The world gives you all this garbage, you know. And you believe it. And because you believe it, then you're meditating on it. Because you believe it, every time you come up to a situation and you see a little old lady walking across the street, you got to help her. Because that's what your Boy Scout training told you. That's what your mother said. Do unto others and do it first. That's what your daddy said. Love your neighbor and love them first. And then from somewhere, this statement came. You are your neighbor's keeper. You are in charge of making, you're responsible to make your neighbor happy, to make your neighbor healthy, to make your neighbor wealthy, to help your neighbor under all circumstances. If they have any trouble, you go next door and you help them. Well, that's the terriblest thing in the world you could ever do. Because, number one, they'll never learn to help themselves. But number two, they'd like to help themselves. They'd like to do it themselves. That's why they created the situation. They wanted to be able to show themselves that they can do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have created a bad situation. You say, well, but the kids, you know, and the mama, and this and that. No, no, no. That's all part of the show. Did she marry him? Is that the father? Is that the mother? Is that their problem? Yeah, it's their problem. Now, what you can go over and do is say, is there anything I can do to help? But you don't help without being asked. You don't help without them saying, please, can you show us the way? When you go over and they indicate that they'd rather you weren't there, disappear. Disappear. And don't make a big deal about it at all. Hey, I only wanted to help you. I only wanted to help. Well, that's because you wanted credit. You know, you wanted to prove to yourself that you're a goody person and that your own guilt complex that you have when it says, be your brother's keeper, wasn't fulfilled. You see, we have all these silly things in our life, and we live by them, and we are guided by them, and controlled by them. And as long as we live by them, guided by them, controlled by them, and experience them very often, then it makes us feel there must be something to it. If you stop, if you take care of your own family first, you take care of yourself, you're number one. Make sure you get a good education. Make sure that you're prepared for whatever job you want. Make sure that you're the top person in your job. Ugo would be nothing. If Ugo had given all of his money away that he came over here with for his education and then didn't get his education, he'd be nothing today. He'd just be Ugo doing whatever he did, and he would not necessarily be happy. And it's a shame that this is how people say your brother's keeper or your family's keeper. You got to send home all your money to your family. Well, the interesting thing about the Mexican wetbacks, the international travelers in Mexico, in America, the Mexican wetbacks, the illegal immigrants, they come to America and they work on the farms for less than minimum wage, low, low, low on the totem pole. You shouldn't do that. And then these guys send home 80% of their income to their family back in Mexico. And the family live high on the hog in Mexico because that money goes a long, long way in pesos and dollars, you know. And the guys who are living in America, their housing is provided for them, and their food is provided for them, and their clothing is provided for them by the ranch that they're working for, because they're getting so little income that they can afford to send their money home. And the guys are not the kind of guys that go out and drink it up and that go and live it up, because that's not the way they've been brought up. They've been brought up to give everything to the family. Now, these guys help their family, and the family does beautiful and in Mexico. But the minute Jose is sent back to America, back to Mexico from America, because he's an illegal immigrant, the money stops. Boom! The family that had been living high in the hog now have to live down closer to it, you know. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. We should really make the legal arrangement where the Mexicans can come over and do that so that they don't have to suffer those situations. But I'm not my brother's keeper. They have plenty of Mexican-trained lawyers or American lawyers who are trained and they're from Mexico that are already taking care of those things. But they're trying to get things that are unfair. They're trying to make legal things that are not legal, and that makes it difficult for everybody. But aside from that, what is it that you want to do with your meditation? What is it you want to accomplish? The Mexicans, they make lots of money and send it home. And then they ship back home, and then they come back again over the border, you know. They know the way. And these silly people from Korea and Japan and other places like there, you know, Thailand, what have you, they come to America. They come to America with proper identification, proper authorization, and they have 8 kids. And all those 8 kids work in a store that the family starts and owns. And before you know it, within a 10-year period, that store is big and very wealthy. And all the kids are on their way to college. All their kids are on their way to being something better than they ever dreamed possible. But that's their cooperation. You see, now, if you went in and helped them, you'd mess them up. You'd mess up their family dignity, the family program that they have for themselves. Now, okay, so we go for the Koreans and what have you. Big deal. What about you? What about you? Whoever's listening to this tape, you know, what about you? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your business of cumin, what your talents are. What are you doing? Are you going out and making something of yourself for yourself? Or are you looking for help from someone else, looking for a handout? I've oftentimes walked through streets of poor sections of town, and they're always with their hand out, you know. And the beggars on the street, they're always begging. And I tell people, be careful. Those beggars have more money than you do. They have no expenses, and they just stand on the street corner in dirty clothes and collect money. And people give it to them. By the end of the day, they earn more than any respectable bookkeeper. And a bookkeeper is raising a family and everything else with this money and buying houses and stuff. And these guys are just loading up with money until they get themselves all set with what they want to do. Well, again, we're not saying that that's right or wrong. All we're saying is, what are you doing? Are you worrying about somebody else's approach, about how someone else handles this, about how someone else goes into their life? If you're really interested in meditation, if you're really interested in making meditation work for you, then you'll pay attention to who you are. And you'll recognize you are number one. And you are beautiful, you're fantastic, you're glorious. If for any moment, for any reason at all, you feel that you are not it, you're dead. Mm-hmm. You're out of business. And nobody cares. Nobody cares at all. If you have no confidence in yourself, nobody cares if you do. They just go on and do their own thing. Really, you know that's true. Now, what are you going to do about that for yourself? What are you going to do about what you want for your life? We talk about meditation, we say, gee, isn't that wonderful? I'm inspired, and I'm illumined, I'm uplifted. Well, you've been inspired, illumined, uplifted all your life, but you didn't follow through on it. You didn't follow through on it. Maybe some did, but you didn't follow through on it if today you are not enjoying the harvest of who you are. Are you a happy person? If you are a happy person, then you're enjoying some of the harvest of being a meditative person, a person who likes themselves, right?
Yes.
And if you are that type of person, you'll have a job that pleases you. Not just a job, but a job that pleases you. One that turns you on, makes you feel, you know, 10 feet tall. And if you've done that, you will have people surrounding you who are your style, your type, your nature. Not people who irritate you or people who try to take advantage of you or people who are who are hurting you. They have no place in your life, no place whatsoever. And what you do is you speak your word. You speak your word that, just for instance, I like me. Just for instance, it's simple. I like me. Now, do people who don't like themselves, or let's say, do people who like themselves, are they poor and unhappy? No. People who like themselves always find a way to make money and make life happy and joyful for themselves. And make good money. Make good money. But people who don't like themselves, who try to be their brother's keeper, no way. We have people who come and want to join the university. I've mentioned it before. And they want us to pay their way. And we tell them, if you want the course, pay for it. If you don't pay for it. Don't take it. If you don't want the course, go somewhere else. And maybe they'll do it for you free. I doubt it. And they want something from you. They want your pound of flesh, you know. They want to own you. They want to possess you. They want to control you. And then when they can't control you, then they kick you out. And we, here at the university, we have you pay your way. We teach you to own yourself, to control yourself, to run your own life, and then we kick you out so that you go and run your own life. Not because you're not doing good, but because now it's the time for you to step out and show yourself that you are independent and you don't need anyone to guide you and help you any longer. You're in business. And this is what we try to recommend to everyone. And as we recommend it to everyone, some people take it and some people don't. But those who have done the 3-hour meditation consistently and carefully, and who really are pumping into their mind, I am God, God I am, again and again and again and again, are getting amazing results in their life. Amazing from the point of what they'd been doing before. What they were doing before was not liking themselves, feeling the world was terrible, everyone's picking on them, everyone's taking advantage of them, everybody's hurting them. And then once they change their attitude and realize that they're wonderful, they're fantastic, then nobody's picking on them anymore. Nobody's trying to give them a hard time anymore. Everybody's giving them a hard time and saying, come on, you can do better than that. Come on, you got the talent. Go, move it, show it, you know. Play up to it. Believe in yourself. And then when people start believing in themselves, then they leave us. And they go off and do their own thing and have a happy, happy life. And that's the way it should be. Children should leave home. Our students should leave our university after they've gained their talent and fullness of prominence and go out and live it. Now, a lot of them like to stay. A lot of them like to be in the organization. And a lot of more would like to be in it too. But the thing is, they know they're not willing to play the game. And if they don't play the game, they know that they're not wanted. Because that's what the organization is. This is a school of chess. And if you don't want to be a chess player and you don't want to learn chess and play chess, then don't come here. Because what you'll be is a distraction to everybody else. This is a school of music. This is a school of art. This is a school of philosophy. This is a school of religion. This is a school of God Unlimited University Healing. Fantastic. So, you see, we're not against anybody. We're not for anybody. We're just for sharing what we believe. And if anyone doesn't like it, they don't have to come. And if anybody likes it and wants to come, they can find a way to pay. They find a way to bring a quart of milk, or they find a way to bring some fish. That's why they paid the ministers in the old days. You know, bartering and carrying things is not unkind. Now, if you have 2 cars and you give one to the church, okay, that's going to, you know, give you a lot of bartering power. But always realize that life has something for something at all times, not something for nothing. And when you yourself are a top drawer meditator, you really like yourself. When you're a top drawer meditator, everything works out for you. Everything. Now you say, well, everything's working out for me just fine right now. That's good. Then you're thinking right. You're meditating right. You have the right attitude in your mind. You're doing great, and I'm proud of you. But if you got these problems, and they don't go away, and they just get bigger, and other people get more irritating, then it's time to sit back and say, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? How do I make a change? How do I put things in the right order? And then pretty soon you start putting things in the right order, and what happens? Everything works. It's just the principle. We're dealing with the principle. And we want to always deal with the principle. Now, you're dealing with the principle, and you're talking to people who are not too happy with the world. They're not too happy with the circumstances that they're facing. They're not too happy with their children having trouble with the law. They're not too happy with their children doing badly in school. They're not too happy with them being inharmonious as a couple. They're not too happy about all these things. So they come to the university, or they come to you, and they say, what can we do? And you say, silly, with all the silliness in your heart, you say, well, the first thing you want to do is tickle your nose. What do you mean, tickle my nose? Well, you know, like Samantha does in Bewitched. She pinches her nose like this here, and tick, 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 and everything is made right. And she pinches her nose and looks at the kitchen that's all a mess, and pinch it, everything is put away. And she tickles her nose, and she wanted a beautiful, super beautiful mink coat made of twin pelts. Each one was a twin, so they were perfect, you know, just ideal, because she wanted to show somebody off. And she got it with a trickle of her nose. And her friend admired it so much and wanted it that finally she gave it to her friend. And it made dissension in her family because she gave something that she created by witchcraft, which is not bad. I mean, witchcraft is no different than peoplecraft, you know. It's just a name that you give it. And we can twinkle our nose and accomplish anything, too, if we wish. So it came back. And the people that touched, had enjoyed it, realized that it was something she did for them, not thinking witchcraft, that she did this for them, gave her something she treasured very much. And it turned the whole family around, turned everything around. As naturally, you can write the story any way you want when you're writing the story. And they wrote the story nicely. But we have the ability to create for ourselves everything we want. Now, the thing about Bewitched, in there, there are values. There are good values. And those people live by those values, and that makes a lot of difference to them. They cannot go fooling around and doing dirty things and bad things. They have to be very, very conscientious. And so this is how we are. Even in witchcraft, they have rules and they have to do things right. And as Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he told her, he said, it's okay if you want to mess around with these men. They're not your husbands. But you pay the price. The law of cause and effect is going to give you a great big hard kick in the butt, you know. And so, what happened? She disappeared. And the community was back in order again. Is that the way you solve the problem? That's the way they solved it in this story about Jesus. They didn't have always the top-notch story writers at that time. But that's the way they solved. Now, later, we learn that always you follow what is right. Always you follow what the rules are in any community you live. But how does this fit into meditation? How does this fit into how we meditate with ourselves? How does it fit into that? It fits in a very simple way. It fits in the idea that whatever our thought is, that is our experience. And if our thought is a beautiful, uplifting thought, then our experience is beautiful and uplifting. If our thought is not beautiful and uplifting, if the person we're dealing with is not thoughtful, uplifting, beautiful, we got a problem. However, if we come into the situation and we are top drawer, we are uplifting and we are beautiful people, and we have dealing with that person next door who you've been dealing with improperly, the whole program will change because it cannot exist in impropriety when you are propriety, when you are good and right order. It's really the way it works. Now, you say, well, how do I change this? You don't change anything. You always just be your perfect self. And though it may appear that things are not working out because you're your perfect self, they are. They are. And they always work out. They always work out perfectly. But the thing is, we have to be consistent. No. If we're consistent in our lives, if we're consistent in the manner in which we deal with ourselves and deal with others, if we're consistent, then that's what we're going to have. That's the type of experience we're going to have in our life. If we're not consistent, we'll see all the little difficulties and difficulties and difficulties and difficulties. You say, what's going on here? Why is so many difficulties? It seemed like such an open, shut case that it was going to definitely be this way and that way. And now we got all these difficulties. Well, you got the difficulties because of what?
You're not consistent.
You're not consistent. You're not consistent, and of course, you're going to throw the whole show out of whack. And the moment you are consistent, the moment you are very, very consistent, everything works out in perfect divine order. That little piggy bank in your engine loaded with nickels is still going to be there. And that's another story. But that'll still be there. And all of the goodness of you will still be there. Even when it appears that it's not being there. When it appears that it's going against you and going away from you. So, to learn to meditate is such a beneficial thing to us. It's important that we do it again and again and again. Learning again and again and again. Because we think we know it once. But oftentimes a new insight, a new input shows up, the new idea to a new way of looking at the wonderful program. Huh? Meditation, introspection, awareness, all very beautiful, all very wonderful, all very positive, and all the type of thing that we are living, working, and following through on. And it's a good thing, but how do you meditate? You meditate by thinking about it. Now, what are you going to think about? What are you going to think about? You're going to think about your happy life, your happy experiences, your happy friendships. You're going to think about the happy, joyous people that you know. Are you thinking about all that is good? Or are you thinking about things that don't work? Now, we've been around the hospitals there and around here too. And there are many large game areas. Like right outside here, there's a volleyball game area for learning volleyball and playing volleyball for the kids and other types of recreation things. Now, people say they don't have anything to help them get recreation or get relaxation or get the necessary workout, you know. And so right out here you got all sorts of things. And it's free. And all over the city you have places like that. And we have driven around town just a wee little bit. And as we drove, all of those big areas were vacant. But it's a school day or it's in this day, it's that. In America, those places would be filled with kids who don't belong there. Filled with kids who are playing on those fields because they love to play. And playing well, playing good, playing beautiful. But they are playing without permission. Because none is needed. The fields are always open in America for everybody. And they are probably here too. But right now, you have a little Donnybrook going on, so the fields are not open too much, but they'll be open again.
They're open.
Hmm?
They are open.
Okay, then they're open. That's fine. Then, but the thing is, this is all part of the program. It's all part of the program of what?
Meditation.
Of what?
Program of meditation and being yourself.
This is all part of the program of being yourself and having fun. All part of the program of
keeping your nose out of
I like me. Yeah. All part of
me.
I like me. You know, every time I point to my nose, I like me. And every time I point this way, it's what?
Now.
Now. Right, right. And with Carlos or Claudio, what was when I point to him?
Hmm?
Claudia Wolfmeyer.
I like me.
No.
Peace.
Peace. Right. Peace. Every time I pointed to him, peace. And I said, now, Claudio, every time I point to you, I want you to say peace.
Peace.
Every time. And so I'd be giving a lecture and talking away there, and I'd point, peace. And then I'd talk more. It had nothing to do with the lecture. But I'd point to them and say, peace. And pretty soon the rest of the group was doing it too. They were saying peace because it had such a good vibration to it, such a sound vibration to it. And everybody just felt wonderful with it. And this, you see, when you can make it humorous as you're learning meditation, when you make it humorous as you're learning the introspective ideas, beautiful things come of it. Beautiful things. And the fun things of it come. And I love it myself. I find it very uplifting and satisfying. Now, all of this talk that I've just given you, which is for, how long has it been? It's been for 30 minutes. I have told you to meditate. The meditate is good. Meditate, meditate. And not once have I given you any clue about how to meditate. This is what we do. We talk around the barn, around the barn, around the barn, and we don't talk about what we want to talk. All right, Chrissy, use your own words. You don't have to use anything that I've ever said. Use your own words. How would you say that you would teach yourself to meditate?
Disciplined.
Good. Discipline what?
Make sure I keep to the time.
Discipline what?
Time, discipline with myself with the time I have to meditate.
Oh, discipline yourself to take time to meditate.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's the next thing you do? And let's keep it on discipline for a moment. What else would you discipline yourself to do?
Discipline my thoughts.
Okay, now you have already decided to discipline yourself to meditate. Mm-hmm. Now, in meditation, you're going to discipline your thought, right? Okay, now,
control my thoughts.
How are you going to discipline your thought?
Discipline it by using an affirmative word. I have to go over and over again.
That's another area. That's another area. But the discipline of your thought is, what are you going to think about? Are you going to think about beneficial things?
Myself.
Okay, you're going to think about yourself. Now, are you going to think about what a poor person you are, or what a sick person you are? Or are you going to think
brilliant
about
thoughts.
What a genius you are?
Beautiful, brilliant thoughts about myself.
Oh, that sounds pretty. Mm-hmm, I like that. Mm-hmm.
And I see it's done.
All right.
You just nourish it with meditation. Nourish it with meditation.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is that in our meditation on you in the past now, just now, these days, you have not told us what a wonderful manager you are. You have not told us what a wonderful advisor you are. You have not told us what a wonderful position you have in your hospital. You have not told us how you're surrounded by friends. You have told us how many people didn't come to the seminar that you planned on. How many people called and said this and that and the other thing. How many people did this and that and the other thing. And you see, once you have set up the seminar and you've told everybody, then what should it be?
Mine.
No, what should it be? Yeah, you, but you what?
I now have to concentrate on myself.
No. You're talking about attending the seminar. I'm talking about creating the seminar. You're creating the seminar and bringing people here. Once you have established the date and the details and given it to the people you want to have it, then what do you do?
Mind my business.
That's true. What you do is you let it alone. See, saying you mind your own business, you started that seminar, you created that seminar, that is your business. You know? Right? So, don't think you're going to get out of it that easy. Okay, now, what you're going to do is you're going to say, Jack and Jill are coming to the seminar, period. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you close the book and you close the door. When Jack and Jill are here, that's fine. When Jack and Jill are not here, that's fine. There's no problem to it. There's no deal to it. There's no whatever. It's just fine. Then what happens? What happens?
I concentrate on myself.
Well, you're a little confused here. When you have set up the seminar, you've gotten information to all the people, and you know they got the information. And the activity is done. The place of the seminar is set, the details are set, all is set. And all the people have been advised of the time and everything else. And that's you did it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
All right, don't defend yourself. Now, you did it. Then you close the book. They're welcome to come. But you do not call them again. You do not sit out in the street and wait for them. You do not look for them in the gutters and stuff like that, unless that's what your program is. But what you do is you let them come because they choose to come. And you choose to create them coming. But you let them go. You don't go out and chase them. You don't go out and oversell. You just let them, you let them alone. Now, as you let them alone, then what happens? Then you go about your business of participating in the seminar. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, now, have you been participating in the seminar, or have you been mostly setting it up and constantly checking with other people, checking when they come, and hearing telephone calls of them not coming or coming, and letting it disturb you a little bit?
No.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I think so.
No.
I told her the telephone number. I told her the time. I told her these details. I told her. If that's not being disturbed, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, don't defend yourself. You blew it. Not bad, but you blew it. Okay, now, it's not too late. It's not too late for you to create this seminar and be done with it. It is what?
Done.
It's over with. It's done.
So it is.
Yeah, you see it done, and you let it be in peace, and you let it go. You get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuit so that it can be done. And did you put in motion with each person that you chose to invite to the seminar, come and bring your friends and neighbors and aunts and uncles and cousins and whatever? Did you say that mentally? No. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Because that way you could have a large crowd. But just say, come and bring your friends. Now, that's another story. You did it how you did it. Okay, so we get these 2.5 people coming, and they come and they're wonderful, and we have a lot of fun, and it's done. Now, can you afford to do what you're doing here in this seminar? If nobody came, and just you and Sibyl and Hebu Bay and Chioma or whatever came, if just those came, if just those people came, would it pay for itself?
Of course.
What?
Of course.
Not of course, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, then why are you humping away trying to get people who are really not interested? You see, your sister Mabel's not really interested. If she were interested, she would come in a little different attitude of mind. She said, I came, I sat through the lecture, and I didn't get counseling, you know. I didn't get talking to him, and I thought I would. And she said, but I'm coming back, you know. I said, that's fine. She said, I'm bringing this person, that person. I said, that's fine. And then, what did your sister Mabel say? That's your sister, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what did your sister Mabel say?
Their sister. That's their sister.
Hmm? Oh, it's hers, huh?
No, their sister.
Theirs. Okay. Now, your sister Mabel said, I would like to bring my son, but I can't get him out of the house. He never comes out of the house. Well, now, she doesn't want to bring her son. She doesn't want her son to be out of the house. She creates her son being house-ridden because she loves to have somebody to care for and somebody to be home. Her husband's not home half the time. He travels around so extensively, he's not home half the time. You know that. And he's not bad or good, but he just thinks other things are more interesting. And that's fine. Now, what is she doing? She's playing a game with you. She wants to be needed, and she wants you to need her. And so you say, come, come, come. Oh, come, it's okay. You know, don't worry about a thing, just come. You understand me? Now, I am not saying these things because I have any issue here. You understand? It doesn't concern me whatsoever. If I come here and my ticket is paid and I got a place to live and so forth, and I go home and I have nothing in my pocket other than what I came with, I'm perfectly satisfied. Because I know I've touched lives. And that's all that I care about. And whatever ones I touch, and who knows, the ones I touched may not have been the people even in the seminar. It might have been the people in the grocery market that I spoke to, and the people that I spoke to elsewhere. You know, I speak to a lot of people, and I just say hi and friendly with them and stuff. And then you guys say, "What? Hurry up, Herbert, you know. And but you see, if you're going to meditate as you are doing for setting this thing up, and you're going to set this thing up as a beautiful thing, do so and let it go. Do so and let it be done. Do so and say, and so it is. And then start enjoying it. You think that's a little close to the edge. But just think how Sybil is doing it. Sybil came here because she had such a good time in Nigeria with me. And we did have a lot of fun. Yes. And we had good show and good vibrations, just tremendous vibration, because we wouldn't let anybody disturb us. Even people who came and disturbed us, we stopped them right in the middle and said, "Stop, you don't do that here. Now relax," you know. even old OK. We didn't do it as strong as we could have, but we did it. We let him know. And we let everybody else know that he was not special. And he wants to start a church, you know. And say, good luck, you know. Because he doesn't like to give on himself. He wants to have everybody else do the work. So maybe he'll have his children run the services. That would be interesting. But whatever he does, it's his business. Now, we're not saying anything negative about him. We're just observing him and saying, that's a little different than I would run it that way. Okay, now, all these things are happening. And all these things are happening right now, here. Now, did I do everything that you asked me?
Yes.
Yeah.
More?
Yes.
Yeah. Am I upset?
No.
No.
No. That's right, I'm not. Am I happy?
Yes.
Yes. Do I think you all are the super guys in the world?
Yes.
And do I think Ibu Bay would make it?
I have Ibu Bay to listen to you.
Yeah, you're a good guy. I love you. Ibu Bay, come over here. Now tell the microphone here how much you love me. I'm waiting. Tell the microphone. All these people out here are listening and they're thinking, is Herb really that much loved by Ibu Bay?
Herb is really loved by everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Well, for someone who's not a great big public speaker, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Now, we want to have fun doing everything we do. We want to really enjoy doing everything we do, and we don't want to ever feel that we can't be silly and that we can't do good stuff and bad stuff both. But we are not beholden. We are not possessed. We are not owned by it. We are not owned by the thing that we did. Sybil says, you want a salad, don't you? Well, I really didn't want a salad, but you guys all were so much that I should have a salad. I thought maybe it would turn out like a nice salad. Well, it was okay. But there was no dressing for it. There was no planning of anything for it. I mean, you're the guys who bought it for me. You should have planned dressing. You know what kind of dressing I like. You know what types of thing I like. But, hey, I didn't let it bother me. I just ate it and enjoyed it. And I just thought to myself, oh, yes, this is fine. I have the ranch dressing on it. I have this dressing on it. You know, mentally putting it on. Because I can do that. And you can, too. And I just have fun. And then I got to sit with the most wonderful guy in the world, you know, who was sitting there eating chicken like crazy. And it was great. But now, don't let yourself be possessed by what activities you're doing. Now, if you had a seminar and nobody came, do not be distressed. I, in the beginning of my ministry for religious science, I gave lectures, and I was the only one there. I had a big auditorium, and I was the only one there.
And you thought to the board.
Yeah. And then my mother, she asked how I was doing. I told her, okay, you know. And she said, well, can I come? She said, yes. I said, bring your friends. So she came and brought her friends, and she realized that that was all that was there. And so throughout the entire program, she had all her friends there. But more people came, too. Probably more were coerced into coming. But it was wonderful. I never felt bad about it. I felt, what a privilege, you know, to have these people come and hear me, just a post-teenager, you know, talking about something that I really wasn't too well prepared for, but what I believed in. And it was wonderful. Now, always do things that make you happy. Do things that turn you on. Do things that make you feel that what you're doing is right for you. You're not doing anything for anybody else. If anybody else benefits by it, that's wonderful. But that's not why you're doing it. Sybil puts on the programs down there, and I say, Sybil, you really have to get with these people and talk to them and tell them to do their lessons and to do this. And she says, not necessarily. I said, aren't you telling them? Sometimes, you know. I said, Sybil, you're supposed to be the proctor down here and do this and do that. She says, oh. She says, when I have time. When I have time. And is that right?
Yes.
Entirely. Is it her operation down there? Yes. Is it her program down there? Yes. Are those her people down there? Yes. Do her people realize they contact her only? Not always. They like to come to us too.
Straight to you.
Yeah. And I don't mind, but I keep sending them back to her, and I keep working with her. I always say what when people ask me a question. One or the other answer. What do I say? One or the other answer. One is yes, one is no. What answer do I give people when they get on to...
True or false?
Huh?
Yes or no?
Yeah, no, no.
How can I help you?
I don't give yes or no. I give yes or no. Yes. Now, what do I give? What do I give yes or do I give no?
What do you expect from me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes to everything. You ask me for certificates, I give them to you. You ask me for programs, I give it to you. You change the program in the middle right on me and tell me to do it. Yeah, and I say, okay, fine. I said, that's a nice challenge, something to work my mind and get me going. But this is what you want to do. See, this is your modus operandi, Christy. You take anything that comes your way and you treat it as though you planned for it. And then it's fun. It's always fun. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a very easy thing to have fun. But the thing is, if you don't want it, it's a very easy thing not to have it fun. And feel very burdened by it. Okay, now. So you want to meditate. So you want to get in there and do things that make you happy. Do things that give you the feeling of you're really doing something significant. Okay. How are you going to do something significant? How are you really going to do something significant when you don't believe in yourself? You're not.
I believe in myself.
You're not going to do something significant if you don't believe in yourself. Do you believe that you can be the motivator of a seminar here?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Say it real loud each time. Do you believe that you put on the greatest seminars in the world?
Yes.
Louder. Do you believe that your seminars are attended by all the people who are ready to receive
yes.
them?
Yes.
Very good. He said it even before we asked the question. Do you believe that all of the people who come to your seminars are the ideal
yes.
people? Let me finish the sentence first. That they're the ideal people to come to the seminar? Okay, now.
Yes!
Right. And is that true?
Yes!
Okay. Then why do you have any hesitation in thinking about it at all? And you do. But I don't want you to. I don't want you to because you don't have to. You don't have to because you're great. I'm sitting here on this couch looking over at you guys and that end there, and I'm constantly leaning over. Next thing you know, I'm falling down on the couch. But it's wonderful. I don't mind it at all. Now, do you understand?
Yes.
You are the creator of your world. You're the creator of your seminars. You're the creator. That's what Seville does. Seville gets me down into Nigeria, and I can't escape, you know. My visa isn't up until a certain time. I can't leave town. But no, and so she's got me. And so she doesn't have to worry about that. She only concerns herself with what would she like to hear. She doesn't really concern herself with what the people want to hear. Do you understand what I said?
Yes.
Why doesn't she concern herself with what the people want to hear?
Because the seminar is for herself. She's there for herself.
Now, don't go saying that. She doesn't concern herself with what the people want to hear because the seminar is for herself, not ourself, herself. It's true the seminar is for ourself when we conduct it or put it on, but this one I asked you about her. Why does it? Do you think that she's a very unkind lady because she wants it only for herself?
No.
Do you think so?
No.
Not at all.
Number one.
Do you know that for a woman alone, she has more men in her house and nobody ever thinks anything but beautiful thoughts about her?
Yes.
You do know that. And that's true.
Yes.
Why would anyone ever think any other thought?
Because.
That's right. Why would anyone ever think any other thought unless she thought it? If she thought, oh, I wonder what people are going to think about me having men sleeping in my bedship, sleeping in my bedroom, sleeping in my living room, all over the house here, you know. Is she going to think that I'm doing this here? But you see, she is just contrary to the United States. In the United States, when you have seminars, they're crowded with women. In Nigeria, you have seminars, they're crowded with men.
Men.
and we'd love to have a few more men in America attending them. But I had a lot of them. Well, that's because I brought them all from Switzerland.
Yes.
And they all came from Switzerland and attended. And then the various churches that I have developed turned out very nice. Now, okay, now you've got that part done. Now you got that part over with. You're no longer concerned. All right, now, what is the title of this seminar? Don't read it. Look it. Know it right from your heart.
The title of the seminar. Meditation.
The title of this seminar is Using Meditation to Unlock My Inner Wisdom. Using Meditation to Unlock. And I sent it to you ahead of time. I printed it up and sent it to you, and I organized it, and I put all the little subheadings in here, and I sent it to you weeks ahead. In fact, probably months ahead. You were in July, and so I did it after I was with you, and so that was July, and so at least weeks ahead. And so you had a chance to look at that. Did you look at it, the content?
I looked at it.
Not really, though.
I scanned it.
You were glad it came.
What happened is it was not easy to print it out from her
computer. No, I mean, I gave her all this ahead of time. On the computer.
On the computer, but she couldn't print it out.
No.
To be able to look at it all the time. Because
yeah.
when I came, I asked her, please, print it out. I want to look at it.
Yeah. So, I printed it out from the computer.
From your own computer.
Yeah.
You came with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was in her computer. And it's not all the time she opens the computer to look at it.
That's true. And that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. what was the matter with you? What was the matter with you, Christy?
Printer wasn't working.
did you?
There's nothing the matter with her.
Nothing.
You're right.
The matter with her.
You're right. You're right, boy. There's nothing the matter with that lady. She's a super lady. Now, you were not thinking that you were number one. And just, I called you. Ellen called you. We all sent you emails and said, is there something you want? Is there anything you want? Tell me if there's anything you want. Anything you want. We will send you our wives and husbands and stuff like that. Anything you want. You just call and ask, and your will is our command. But the thing is, you didn't answer, and you didn't send it back. If you had, I would have sent this to you right away by mail.
She was busy with hospital activity.
With what?
Hospital work.
Hospital work.
Yes, she was busy.
You were busy with your job?
Yes.
My goodness sake, who's busy with your job when you're going
to
put on
show? You're number two,
you're number one. If you're thinking you're number two, you are wrong. You are number one.
That's what I said.
No, we're acting like this is a little funny, but it's not. I understand. But I do say to you this. Whenever you have a question and you feel frustrated, call. I'm there. But speak articulate English, because otherwise you drive me up the wall. I'm listening to you with, you know how I do listening. And the telephone, I can hear you clearly, speaking unclearly. You understand? And I've got all sorts of things to help me hear better, you know. And even here, I could use earphones if I wanted to, you know, hearing aids. But the thing is, as the girls say, your enthusiasm fades away when you do that. But we should perhaps try it. But in any event, if you are Oh, to hell with it. You speak up. You speak up. I can hear Sibyl. When people at her seminar are giving me the Nigerian punch.
And to get help, boy!
That's right. Speak up.
You hear me?
So.
Your voice.
That's right. Let it pour out. Ibu Bay is learning to be a good public speaker. Now, what I want you to do is articulate. Sibyl can do it. I ask her, when I can't understand what they're saying, to say it. Well, Sibyl will speak out and she'll articulate, but she'll articulate it in the Nigerian slang. She'll articulate certain words in the Nigerian phrase that I couldn't understand. And because of that, it was sort of useless to me. But I kept asking, and I kept asking. And as I kept asking, I got the answer. But I persisted, remember? I persisted. And then I found the key. What's the key?
I like to write it down.
To write it down. To write it down. And did that help a lot?
Yes.
Did that help here?
Yes.
Yes. And Christy, can you write?
Yes.
Then write me and tell me. And don't ever tell me your hospital work is overworking you.
Okay.
Because if your hospital work is overworking you, and this is a bad time to come, then don't have it at this time. I'm perfectly happy to come virtually any time.
You come at the right time.
It was the right time.
Yes.
Okay, good. But now, again, I'm not really wanting to talk about all that stuff. I wanted to talk about the idea that you know how to meditate. And meditation is
To think about.
Simple, simple, simple. Meditation is to think about. And what are you thinking about at any in any area? What are you thinking about? Just name one thing.
My real self. How wonderful you are. My real self. My ideal self.
Your ideal self?
Yeah.
Okay, you're wonderful in the world. But, you see, take anything. Play the game. Don't get so technical. Just take some idea. And if Sibyl gives you a good idea, or you got good ideas. Now, What is your idea?
Be myself and have
fun. No, that's not what you just said.
My ideal self.
Your ideal self. Oh, you did remember. Congratulations.
Me.
It's been 2 seconds now, and finally you remembered. That's great. I'm not trying to be too mean, but I'm trying to be a little facetious. Okay, so what is it you want to do? What is it you're asking for?
My ideal self to enjoy this. To be myself and have fun.
No, no, your ideal self.
Your ideal self is to be. Then,
isn't that what you want, your ideal self?
And have fun.
Okay, thank you. You want to be your ideal self. Now, how, let's take that, keep it, don't lose it, you know. You see, when you're playing the game with me and you let yourself drift off into all sorts of different areas without sticking to the point, you make me think that you're not very stable in your thinking. But I don't believe that. You understand? But anybody else might believe it, and that's to your disadvantage. Always be stable in your thinking. Always be consistent in your thinking. And then everyone will feel that confidence in you that you feel in yourself. Consistency builds confidence in you. Okay, now, can I ask you again what your program is?
My ideal self.
Well, you what?
My ideal self.
That wasn't so hard to remember, was it?
No.
My ideal self. To be
no.
My ideal self. And
I want to meditate on my ideal self. Right?
Yes.
Now, what is your ideal self? Come, don't wait. My ideal self is me. My ideal self is just the way I am. My ideal self is the something about me, or is it beyond, is it like the practitioner does? What does the practitioner do?
See it beyond. See it beyond.
No, he sees, he looks beyond appearances. In other words, the practitioner looks beyond to your original purity and integrity. Okay? So, this is what a practitioner does. They look beyond to your original purity and integrity, whether it's you or anybody else. Now, your original purity and integrity is your
ideal self.
You are so wonderful. Your original purity and integrity is your ideal self. It is so. Now, how can you meditate on your original purity and integrity, your ideal self? How can you do that?
By
say the phrase again, and that's what you do.
I meditate on my ideal self.
Super.
Super.
Now, do that. Now, how do you meditate on your ideal self if you're so stupid you don't even know what your ideal self is? If you're so stupid you don't even know what your original purity and integrity is and all that other good stuff. If you're so stupid, how do you do it? That makes it all the more easier, doesn't it? I don't get in the way. Then, how do you meditate on your ideal self? Bitte. What is it called? AFFIRMATION. Affirmation.
I am my ideal self.
Oh, super. Now, again, and 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 again. I am my ideal self. 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 Again and again and again and again. And then you know what happens? Your brain stops thinking you're not there. It starts thinking that you are your ideal self. Your brain stops thinking that you are just a silly woman who is working in medicine, you know, not dealing with your ideal self. And then, but your reality, I am my ideal self, I am my ideal self, keeps coming through there. And then all those other thoughts. Now, you can do your medical work your hospital work, your hospital training work, asleep. You know it, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know it. You know it because you have trained yourself in it. Okay? Now, with that same training that you gave yourself, maybe not as long and rigorous as you did, you say, I am my divine ideal self?
Yes, sir.
I am my ideal self? My original purity and integrity? I am my real self? My ideal self? My ideal self? See, don't do it like I'm doing. I'm wandering around looking for the words that you want to use, but I keep messing myself up by listening to your thought. Now, I am my ideal self. I am my ideal self. Again and again and again. Say it.
Now, I am my ideal self.
Let me just make this observation. If you had all of the wishes in the world, you could make any wish you want, using three words. I am
my ideal self.
Five words or whatever it ends up. But would that cover everything?
Yes.
Do you have to do anything else? Do you have to say anything else? That covers everything. Now, how do you meditate on I am my ideal self?
I am my ideal self.
Now, what sort of thoughts are going through your mind when you say, I am my ideal self? Now, you see, this is what happens to us. When we are saying our affirmations are creating in our consciousness all sorts of imagery. And imagery sometimes that's not so good, and imagery sometimes that's very good. The imagery that's not so good is one that'll say, ha ha, you... That's silly, you know. You silly person, think you can walk on hot, wet, hot coals, you know? You think you can walk on fire? You think you can walk on fire? Do you really think you can walk on fire? And you say, yes. Well, prove it. And then you go take the course for one evening, and then you walk on fire. You see? And you've done it. So then your brain would never laugh at you again. You see? Because you did it. Now, we know better. You really walked on cool, wet moss and that sort of stuff. But the thing is, your brain wants to make trouble for you. It wants to disagree with you. It wants to say all sorts of things about you that are not harmonious with where you're going. And you don't want that to happen. You want to always be in charge. So now, if you want to say, I am... My ideal self. I am my ideal self again, 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 again. And thoughts come up in your mind that you may not be your ideal self. Go now. You're not so hot at mathematics. You're not so hot at history. You're not so hot at these things. You know, how can you have an ideal mind? I do. What's the term? Intimidate. We do not allow anything, any person, or any idea to intimidate us. We don't allow anything to intimidate us. And when we don't allow anything to intimidate us, then we do everything, and we do it beautifully. You follow that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, are you ready to really stand up for that?
I am already.
I can't hear you.
I am already. I am ready.
Well, are you ready standing up for it, or are you standing up for it already?
I'm already in it.
Are you ready to stand up for it, or are you standing up for it already?
Yes, I'm standing up already.
Now. Okay, now. Good. All right, now, what sort of results can we expect to see from your standing up for saying, I am my ideal self?
My ideal self, which is my original purity and integrity, and this is the truth.
Don't argue with me, but I want you to tell me what you can expect to have experiences in your life.
My ideal self. Shines out. My ideal self excels in everything I do.
Wonderful, wonderful. I like this. Now go on.
My ideal self brightens my day.
So. Okay.
I am number one. I am my ideal self.
Is number?
Number one.
My ideal self is number one, you see. And that you can accept. That you can accept. My ideal self is number one because it's not yet you.
I am number one.
Yeah, but I'm getting you into the meditation of this sort of thing and into meditation where you don't have rebuttal to yourself, where you don't have your put down, saying, you number one, you ideal self, you this, you know, it's, you say that to yourself. Because you know how many years you've worked to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Yes.
Now, why do you tell any of your friends about your philosophy?
I am my ideal self. Speaks out of
no, no, no. Myself. About your philosophy that you want them to come and hear me and stuff like that. Why do you tell any of your friends about that? Why do you let them hear my tapes or anything?
They are my reflections.
All right. You let them do that because you want their approval of you. That you have chosen a good philosophical field to follow. You have done good philosophical things. You understand, Seville?
Yes.
And when we need that pat on the back, that means we haven't quite got the sincerity, the self-integrity, and self-confidence that we want to have in ourselves. And this is where meditation helps you build up self-confidence in yourself. You understand a little bit of what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it is so tremendously powerful when we speak these thoughts and speak these words. It's not a matter of speaking a lot of them. It's just a matter of a little bit. If you are not feeling good, you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and you keep it up and keep it up and keep it up, and you think, will I ever get the message to myself? Will I ever get through to my inner self that I am whole and perfect, that I am fantastic, that I am wonderful? Just keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. And pretty soon, all of those inhibitors within you that say it's not so, all of those people that you're trying to tell how wonderful you are, please pat me on the back and say I'm doing a good job. Please, please do that. Please do that. People want that. Why do you think ministers stand outside of the church after a sermon and let people tell them how wonderful the talk was? Now, do they ever tell the minister how wonderful the choir was? Or how wonderful the church looks, or how nice all the people in the church are, and they're all improving so much every week with this inspiration that the minister gives them. Do any of them ever say that? Now, I don't mean to have you say yes or no, but very seldom. Very seldom, because the minister thinks that he's in there to teach people to be good, to teach people to have values, to teach people to think right. And he wants your pat on the back. So he gives you areas, only areas, that you're not going to argue with him. He won't talk about homosexuality, you know. That's just a tough one, you know. He won't talk about babies out of wedlock, you know. He won't talk about those things. He won't talk about the things that the people really want to know about and are very concerned about. But he won't talk about that because he wants you to give him a pat on the back. And it's not a bad thing for doing it. I mean, that's his level of competence, you know. But your level of competence is where?
My ideal self. Hi.
And then I am number one.
Number one.
Yeah. I am my ideal self, number one. And that's great. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Let nothing dissuade you on that. You can do it. It's powerful. It's wonderful. Even this guy does it. He's listening to us, and he's putting all of these thoughts in his mind. He's putting all these ideas in his mind for him. And at night when we say, I like me, I'm number one, and so forth, he's hearing all these things. Oh, he's busy and crawling around, but at least he's awake and listening. Yes, love? You hear. Mm-hmm. And it's good stuff. Okay. Does your grandma say good stuff too?
Yes.
Does your auntie say
yes.
good? Yes, oh, that's right. Does your auntie say good stuff?
Yes.
Your auntie says good stuff?
Yes.
Is she, would she make a good minister?
Yes.
Is she ordained as a minister? Ask her.
Yes.
Does she have her ordination? So then, Evil Bay? She could perform. Well, Evil Way, do you have your ordination?
Yes. Yes.
Maybe we'll have to take care of that. But that's beautiful.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Because yes. out of the mouth of babes, you know,
but
children.
He is a practitioner now.
What's that?
He is a practitioner.
Yeah, he's a practitioner now.
He attended his seminar. So.
Well, you haven't given him the certificate yet, but he is a practitioner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody,
you're going to get a certificate now. Mr. Tandy is going to give you a certificate. Yeah.
I will.
I will finish your. They're beautiful certificates, too. Those are our original certificates. And they're signed. Well, let me give it to you.
You have to be a school. You don't know how you teach at school.